Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, a show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, well, at least they kind of made it to the championship game, even if they didn't show up, co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you tonight, sir?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, was the sports ball just not there for you, huh?
Just, you know. Just hurts.
You know, I was there for the 90s, man. And like I said, I mean, I'm a Dolphin fan, but even I was rooting for him. But,
well, you know, I had a couple of different, I had a couple different personal levels that
yeah,
went
I know.
On. So, you know.
I get it. Yeah. I get it.
And, so it hurt. You know, it was a great season. So, you know, next year. They'll be back next year.
Maybe.
I don't see any reason why not. That core is staying together.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, I mean, if the wide receiver could stop being a crybaby on the sidelines after the game about losing, that would help.
I thought that was actually a great move by him, staying out there watching the celebration.
It was. I'm just being, you know, a Dolphin fan now. Because since they're out, it's like...
But your boy Brady's in the Super Bowl.
I hate Brady. Brady
your boy.
Needs to, he's not my boy. I'm in the AFC East. I hated Brady.
You got posters of him on your wall.
Well, yeah, but that's just because he's turbo hot. Well, before we begin, let's take a second here. We want to remind you guys that this episode and every episode of the Plains Talkers podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge, we hope someday if COVID ever decides to leave, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. They have two locations, one in Catskill, New York, and the other in Poughkeepsie, New York, and the Poughkeepsie Galleria, and it is the absolute best place in gaming. Now, they have a great website that you can go to, especially if you haven't pre-ordered yet or haven't even got your call time stuff. Me. So just go to their website at KGS Online. That's KiteGoSamuelOnline.com. And don't forget, you get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PlainsTalkers. No year this time. He put it back to PlainsTalkers. So just PlainsTalkers at checkout will get you 5% off your order. And I will be using that later. So we also want to take a second to recognize our Planeswalker level patrons. Brian, David, Jonathan, Johnny, Bell, Anthony, Steve, Mark, George, Josh, Zach, Ian, and Randy. We really appreciate you guys. Most of those guys got into the tournament. Most of them got buys, but not because of the fact that they were there, but the fact that the brackets we were using kind of gave everybody a buy except two teams. And one of them was Steve, but I was okay with that. But we want to thank those guys. You know, they do help the show out in many ways, guys. There are so many little perks that you get for being a patron. To find out more, go to patreon.com/planestalkers. And if you'd like, we're very proud to be a top 25 podcast on FeedSpot. It's kind of like an aggregator of various podcasts, but you can find out more. We are number 14 still at blog.feedspot.com/magic_the_gathering_podcast. So check that out. And finally, we want to remind you guys that we are very proud to be the flagship podcast for the Plains Talkers Podcast Network. Our sister show is Commander Craft. They are still on a brief hiatus due to COVID and coronavirus and the fact that Anthony's computer took a flying leap, and so he had to rebuild it. So, but he did get it rebuilt. He sent us pictures today in the Discord, so we're very excited for that. They should be coming up soon. I think they're going to record a few episodes, put them in the can so that they can get to an easy weekly release without having to record weekly. You're going to want to check them out. Just look up Commander Craft MTG on either Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, the anywheres on the interwebs you can go. Look up Commander Craft MTG and you'll see their stuff. So, Aramis, that's not the biggest thing. How the hell are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. I got my phone back finally.
Yeah, that was a big thing. We didn't talk about that last week, but Aramis didn't have a phone.
My phone crapped the bed a week ago, and it wouldn't have been so bad if it wasn't only 2 months old, but c'est la vie. And everything's good except for the fact that I have to reload all my deck lists. I lost all the data.
And I apologize for that. I forgot one very important part of Untap.
Oh, you didn't untap? No.
I didn't untap. Purple. Tonight's beer, it is. It's a leftover we found in the bottom of the fridge. So who knows how this will be. This will be an experiment. But it's the Science. Samuel Adams Holiday Porter. Very, very low. I should be okay. This is only a 5.8er, so I shouldn't be slurring my words by the end of this, for once.
That remains to be seen.
Well, you know, it could also just be a stroke, but let's not.
I'm not going to go Dick Clark on this one?
No, no. Dude, I still think that they... Here's the thing. Okay, all right, kids, ask your parents who Dick Clark was. But here's the thing. I truly believe that after his stroke, they started freezing him every year for... I think they froze him on, like, January 2nd until, like, December 23rd. They thawed him out for Christmas so he could be with his family, but he'd do, like, the New Year's Rockin' Eve and stuff, and then all of a sudden they put him back in the...
Back in this cave.
They just put him back in the freezer until December 23rd. Because you never saw him. You never heard from him. He was never taking interviews. I seriously think this is what happened. That's how they got an extra, like, 5-6 years out of him.
Could be.
You know, and then there was the year he forgot 8, which I thought was hysterical. I'm like, literally, you have one job. He was like, 10, 9, 7, 6. I'm like, wait, what? Did you get hypnotized? No.
Well, I mean, they have leap seconds every now and then. Maybe he was observing a leap second.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I loved him. And I mean, let's face it. Ryan Seacrest is like, thank God for Dick Clark or I wouldn't have a career. But because he's like, I'm going to be the new Dick Clark. It's like, no. You're just smarmy and we don't like you. But yeah. So this weekend was a little bit of, hey, Nick. Hey, Dig Dug. This week was a little bit of sport ball. Yeah. We have a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy. Not happy with either one. First of all, that Green Bay guy, the coach there, he gots to go. How do you not go for it? Fourth quarter. Like, how do you not?
I'm more surprised at the lack of defensive preparedness at the end of the first half, how they let that guy sort of waltz into the end
zone. Yeah, I know. He was just kind of like, what up,
yo? It's like, they're gonna throw it, and they're like, oh, sure, go ahead.
Yeah. We'll catch up. So
nope.
This is not a sports ball podcast. We understand completely.
No, but yeah, football's fun.
Yeah, we had a nice, easy going weekend here. Wendy's been fighting this awful sinus infection, so we stayed pretty close to home. We stayed down pretty well. She, you know, we played a little Magic Friday night. That was nice. We had our playcast Friday, so that was a good time. And I'm the reigning champion, so.
We're letting you win some so that we can get your confidence up before we
Well, where are we at now? I should be only down like one or two.
I don't have the spreadsheet open now. We're not playing.
Why do you not have the spreadsheet? Oh, you should always have the spreadsheet open.
Okay, well, the totals is I have more than you.
Yes, you have more than me, but not by much. I'm catching you.
Yeah, I am catching you.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's because I'm playing, you know, I'm playing more fun decks and you're rolling around with Omnath.
Oh, Jesus. Give me a break. I'm not Steve. Oh, dude, and let's just, you know what, let's go off on an EDH rant real quick, because I'm on a few EDH Facebook groups, okay? And for those of you that don't know, EDH stands for Every Day in Hand. No, it's for Commander. There is some salt out there. Like, some people are getting, like, they're like, I don't understand why people don't want to play with me. I'm one guy posted, he's like, I like to speed run when I'm playing EDH, man. I want to speed run. What he means by that is play a CEDH deck that wins on turn 4.
That's and he's slow like, well, for I don't CEDH.
I know. He's like, I don't understand it. Why in the heck? Why don't they want me to? Why is this such a big deal? Like, I play them and then I win and then nobody wants to play. They all, like, leave the pod. I'm like, yeah, nobody wants to play with that.
Yeah.
Unless you sit down and go, hey, I've got a turn 4 win con. Does anybody else have one? No? No? Well, then I'll play another deck.
I'm like, playing a 9. You guys are playing 3s. This is good.
Yeah, this will be fun so for me. So, I mean, it's funny to me because, first of all, if any of you are on the Magic groups online, okay, there are some Facebook groups. There's obviously Reddit. There's, you know, here's the thing. There is salt. For salt. Like, they just...
Well, that's Magic players in general. They like to complain.
Yeah, they're just negative Nellies, man, the way around.
We're just as guilty.
Yeah, well, you and I get salty when we're playing Steve. It's like... Yeah, Steve, this is great. A whole lot of fun. Or when we're playing your Zakama deck, you're not playing Zakama on Wednesday. No.
I haven't ruled anything out.
No Zakama Wednesday, man. Come on, actually, man. Nobody likes that deck.
I'm probably playing either Slimefoot or Zozu. Or Rixmathese or... Oh. There was another one I was thinking about. Anawan. One of those three.
Anowon? Isn't Anowon you're like nobody gets to play ever?
No, that's the mill deck.
Oh. So, I don't know about mill in a four-person commander strategy.
You haven't seen what this deck can do.
I mean, well, no, I mean, it's good, I'm sure, but it's like, how do you mill out for three different people? Like, that's 300 cards you've got to mill to win, if milling's your win con.
When all the mills are each opponent, and there's more than that's a couple true. That do half your deck.
So,
yeah.
And nobody look at the screen, because my wife's walking behind it.
Uh-oh. Yep. But I have a new deck that I'm working on that I should have ready, hopefully, in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, cool. Honey, I'm just going to buy you a green sweater that you can wear, and then when you walk by, you'll just look like a disembodied head. So, yeah, the boy's going back to college on Wednesday. I, for one, can't wait. I love the boy. I love my oldest son. I love him so dearly. I do. I can't say enough good about him. Except the fact that the boy eats me on a house and home, and every time he pops a freaking circuit downstairs, he forgets to turn the heater on the pipe, and we freeze. So there's those two things. It's really the house and home thing. Like, you can go to school now, and our grocery budget literally goes down by about a third. I'm like, this kid just, like, we'll buy this big old bag of fish sticks, right? He it's like a week. He will eat the whole thing.
He doesn't even bother to cook them. Just go straight to the freezer.
Oh, he's just like, I'm like, Nick, I love you to death, son. I do. And I'm going to miss him. He's going to Oswego, though. He's going to my alma mater. And he's got it a little tough. They closed like half the dining halls. He's going to have to go out. He's going to have to go outside for his dining hall, which I had to do all 4 years while I was there. You know, that sort of thing. But it's, you know, it's a little different. He's kind of, I feel bad for college students today. They're getting shafted. They really are. They're not getting the experience I had. You know, it's like, because I was in the music department, so I was constantly having a great time, and we were all hanging out together, and we were playing music and drinking. And
they're also paying twice as much at this point.
Drinking and drinking, and then we were drinking, too. And while we were there, we were drinking. But, and then we woke up from drinking. So, I mean, I can't say enough good about it. I really can't. But, you know, it is what it is. How's Ollie? How's everything on your end, though?
Everything's good. He was remote all last week. He's remote today and tomorrow. They're remote on Friday and I think Thursday too. It's hard to keep track of it all. They're trying to do like a soft reset.
Yeah.
So they're going to school. They're supposed to be going to the school on Wednesday, but we're also supposed to be getting a snowstorm on Tuesday night. So we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah. My son goes back Wednesday to Oswego. My wife's got to drive into the snow belt. She's not nervous at all.
Yeah. No. Tuesday night into Wednesday. So yeah, fun times.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's cool, but we have a pretty great show tonight for you guys. It is our standard. We've started doing this when we started this podcast 2 years ago during Ravnica Allegiance. We decided that the show before pre-release was almost always going to be, and we've done it ever since, every set. It's our pre-release primer show. We're going to talk about strategies and ideas from this set. You know, at bird's eye view, we're not going to go too nuts and bolts, obviously. And then we're going to have a little bit of our standard combat, which is the last combat before, the last combat we usually do before a set is like what we think our best cards are. And then, you know, and then the second half of today's show, main two, we're going to talk about two things. We're obviously going to update you on the tournament and where things are going, how things have been going with that. And then we'll talk also about the state of the game. Arena put out the state of the game last week on the 21st. So we're going to go over that a little bit. Not anything really surprising or new in there. They spend a lot of time talking about the mechanics. And then they talk about mobile. And we'll get into mobile because I'm a little pissed about mobile. I ain't going to lie. So, but let's, you know what? Let's get right into main phase.
Main phase.
All right, main phase. So, as we said earlier at the top of the show, we like to talk about strategies for this weekend. Now, obviously, during the pandemic, things are different. Obviously, most states and most stores are not running in-person events. You just can't anymore. Right. It's too hard. It's too...
Dangerous.
Dangerous. There's no real way to safely do it, which sucks. I won't lie. It sucks.
Yeah.
I miss getting a sealed deck and building a deck and playing. And I mean, I think Friday night we're going to play online. You know, probably you, me, probably Anthony and Steve too. I don't know if we want to try to like you know, do a four-man or it's just you and I again or whatever. But I think usually it's just you and I on this, right? We don't usually play four-man.
Yeah, because multiplayer sealed is just no.
Yeah, it just gets awful. So, yeah. So we'll be doing some of that. Maybe we'll switch out opponents or something if we want to try that, because, again, they are our sister show. So, you know, and then I think next week we'll talk about maybe Commander doing the sealed Commander decks. Oh, wait, they won't be released yet, right?
No, the sealed Commander decks won't come out until next week.
Right. So we may or may not try to do, like, our own homebrew Commanders if we... Nah, because that would mean we all had to open, like, these Commanders. We'll wait on that. We'll do that in 2 weeks. But, you know, we've got some stuff here. So Friday night, look for me and Aramis to probably do a little bit of a seal. We'll both get some pre-release packs and go to town. So, but we like to talk about, like, strategies and ideas that we saw from this. And again, we are the show by casuals for casuals. We are not the awesomest players ever. Aramis is a lot better than I am at a lot of things. I am really a lot better at drinking and making fun of him. So, I mean, that's really what I bring to the show. Aramis brings the magic. I really don't know what I bring.
The magic.
The magic. I bring the magic in a different way.
I'm not touching that one.
Yeah. Would you please?
I mean, you know, it depends. Yeah, at least gotta buy me dinner first.
Well, I'd love to buy you dinner, man. You know, your wife and I were talking on Facebook because without your phone, I had to, like, text her things. And I was like, you know, we have to get together, right, once this is over. She's like, absolutely. And I actually believe she meant it. It wasn't like a, oh, yeah, absolutely, we'll get together after all this is over. Not going to happen.
Yeah, no, that's just, that's me.
So why don't you give us some... give us some ideas. You have a spiel you give every time, and I really like it, and I could never try to do it, about how to plan your pre-release. So you talk about things like deck construction and, you know, not necessarily playing. You know what I'm saying. Go ahead. Take this. This is you. I will sit here and drink beer.
Okay, that sounds good. So bird's eye view. Obviously, in the before times, what we used to do, for those of you who don't remember, because it was about, 100 years ago,
yeah.
You would go to your local game store and have the pre-release there. But since we're at home and playing online, you know, via Spell Table or Skype or what have you, things are a little bit different. What will be the same is that you can either have the pre-release kit, you can pick it up at the store, you can go into the store and buy it. Sometimes they have curbside pickup, depending on your store. I don't know if any stores are shipping them out. I don't think they are. But anyway, you get your hands on a pre-release kit. Inside the pre-release kit, there's going to be 6 booster packs of Kaldheim, plus a special promo card. The promo card is going to be any rare or mythic from the set, and it's going
it'll
to
be foil.
It'll be foil stamped with the date. That card can be used in your deck, depending on what you open. So basically, you know, it's going to be sealed, which you take those 6 booster packs, you open them up, you build from that pool. It's a little bit different with Kaldheim in regards to some of the mechanics, especially snow. You can't grab, you're not supposed to anyway, if you're playing like in a tournament, you can't grab snow-covered lands if you didn't open snow-covered lands.
Ooh, did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you have snow lands, you have to use the ones that you open. So that's, you know, it makes sense because they have certain perks in the set.
Right.
There's certain bonuses you get for having snow lands. So yeah, you open your 6 packs, you take a look at the cards you open, you try to build a 40 card deck with those cards. Anything you don't use becomes your sideboard. And you normally see there's 15 cards in a pack, so you're gonna have 90 cards altogether. So you're gonna have about 50 cards in your sideboard, give or take. So it's
and you'll have 6 snow lands.
Hopefully, yes. Somehow you might be lucky and get 7 or 8, depending on Voils.
Oh well, yeah. But you'll have at least 6, because any of the basic lands in this set are the snow lands.
Yep, and then also there's the...
you might get the rares or the double dual lands.
Well, those are commons.
Oh, damn.
The snow duels are common. I was just going to mention that. So you could actually open up a fairly decent amount of snow lands.
Right.
I don't know that it would be enough to run your complete mana base in snow, but it would be enough to, you know, if you have cards
snow,
that rely
yeah.
on it, you're going to have snow permanents in order to get those bonuses. The big thing that I like to do when I open up my packs, everybody's a little bit different. Obviously, I like to sort out the cards by color. I like to take a look at the rares and mythics first. that sort of gives you a building block as to what direction you might want to go. Sometimes the uncommons are a good sign to look for, but for me, a lot of the times the biggest bombs are in the rare mythic slot. So if you open a card, you know, like Doomscar, you might want to play white because, you know, it's a 3-mana wrath.
You're going to play white. No, if you open Doomscar, play white.
You should be playing white. Unless the rest of that color is terrible, sometimes splashing for a double white card is kind of hard. But yeah, if you have any way to play white and you open because you opened a Doomscar, do so. Same can be said for a bunch. Like most of the gods, if you open any of the gods, probably want to play those colors. You want to have 17 lands and 23 non-lands generally for your deck. Might be a little more, might be a little less. It's going to depend on either how aggressive your deck is. If your deck is more controlling, you might want more lands. If it's more aggressive, you might want fewer lands.
Depends on a number of colors, too. I mean, it may depend on the number of colors. If you manage to open 23 really bombastic red cards,
that's a really you're going to try pool, to play a
yeah, exactly. I mean, it would be very hard to do. Don't try to make it happen. You know, the odds of you opening 23 monocolored cards that are really great or 20 with artifacts or whatever, not easy. And, you know, yeah, then, you know, you can get away with a few less mana because you're not going to be struggling to find the second color. But for the most part, he's right. It's like 23-17. You know, I have this thing I do where I'll go one extra. What the heck was that? Wow. Where I'll put in, I tend to play 41 and I don't know why, because it's not like I win or lose anymore with either one. It's just for some reason I like it. I feel like I'm like, I'm supposed to play 40, but I'm playing 41.
It drives me nuts.
I know, and that's one of the reasons I do it, is that it just drives you fucking crazy, man.
Now
we have the explicit tag.
if Mill is a viable strategy in that limited environment, sometimes playing 41 cards is actually a good strategy. I don't think there's really too much mill in this set, but you're pretty much going to be two colors because there are a lot of multicolored cards in this set. They're almost all sagas. There's some legendary creatures and planeswalkers and whatnot as well, but for the most part, you know, the sagas are all uncommon, and they're all multicolored. They're all two-colored.
Right.
So you're probably going to be playing two, possibly three. There is enough fixing in the set to probably go with the third color. I would say only do that if that third color card is, one, absolutely insane, and two, hopefully doesn't have more than one mana of that appropriate color in it. So if you're playing, say, green-blue, and you open a ridiculous, you open like the Battle of Frost and Flame, and you want to splash that red card, okay, that should probably be the only red card in your deck. You might be able to squeeze one more in, depending on how many red sources you can squeeze in. You know, you kind of have to be careful because consistency is big, because the sealed environment tends to be, it can be slow, but it depends on the set.
It depends on the set, because I mean, believe it or not, what was it we did there? War of the Spark was like, we were both amazed. We were like, this is a slow freaking...
That was a slow one, yeah. There are faster formats out there, but you know, unfortunately, you don't really know until you actually sit down and play with the cards how fast a format is, unless you've had a chance to play with them with sealed pool simulators online, like draftsim.com. I think they you can open up sealed pools and do it. Sometimes their collation's all messed up. But anyway, like I said, 17-23 for your lands and non-lands. You want to be running probably at least 10 to 15 creatures, I would say.
Yeah.
And the rest of them being spells. You want to try to prioritize removal. Any creatures you get, you want to try to prioritize ones with evasion. Again, take a look at your rares. Flying, trample, something that basically lets them survive combat and get through. A couple of combat tricks, something that lets you draw cards is usually really good. But again, look at your rares and mythics as well, because if there's something ridiculous in there and it's in your colors, you're in great shape, because that means they have to answer something really big or just die.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'm taking a look through here. I don't see a ton of mana rocks in this set.
Not so much rocks. There's fixing, but there's not a lot of rocks.
Right. So, I mean, it's that type of thing you have to think of. I think with the sagas, it's going to be hard not to, like you said, not to go two. I think you're going to see a lot of three-color decks.
You'll see a fair amount. Yeah. I mean, the only mana rock that I can see is Replicating Ring. And it's good. You know, it's a 3-mana rock, adds mana of any color, so it fixes you and ramps you a little bit.
Right.
And it eventually, if the game goes really long, it makes a bunch of copies of itself. So at that point, you hope you have a giant X spell to cast.
Right.
One of the things I wanted to mention, if you open Nico Eris, that is one of the planeswalkers from the set, be mindful that their ability, since it has X in the mana cost, when they enter the battlefield, you get X shard tokens. That is a trigger, an ETB trigger. So unlike most normal planeswalkers where you can play them and then activate them before your opponent has a chance to respond, because Nico has an ETB, they can respond and destroy it before you have a chance to use it. So please keep that in mind. It's a weird, quirky thing. It's the first planeswalker that has anything like this. So it's going to be a little bit, it'll catch some people by surprise. But because Nico has an ETB, you can respond to the trigger, destroy or remove the planeswalker in some way, and you won't be able to activate it in response because loyalty abilities are sorcery speed.
Yeah, that, honestly, I think that's one of the reasons I don't like him. Is I'm like, it kind of...
Them,
yeah.
By the way.
Them, yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay, I'm sorry, you cannot misgender a card.
The character is non-binary.
Yes, I'm all for that. You guys know I'm...
I think actually woman bits. Yeah. You have to go that far.
I'm not going to go there. I'm just saying that, like, for me, you can't, it's a piece of cardboard. It has no sex.
It's a character. And the character,
I get that, and I 100% understand that. And again, everybody knows I'm an advocate and a fan, and you know I have no problem with that. But it's like, yeah, no, but still. And remember, folks, if you open Divine Gambit, you must play it. Trust me, that is the best card you could play. It is 100% the most amazing card. It's a 2-white sorcery that lets you exile a target artifact, creature, or enchantment. There's nothing wrong with that.
Except for the rest of the card.
Shut up, dude. If I had to play one of these guys, I want them doing it.
Yeah, don't play Divine Gambit. Because, all right, you Divine Gambit their little enchantment there. They drop, what, Tibalt?
Whoopsie!
For free? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, there's just, you know, there is. He can't say it enough. I'm going to say this. This set has a lot of, it has a lot of callback to Ixalan and a little bit to Rivals. It's not as bad as Ixalan.
As far as
tribal goes, there is a whole lot of tribal in this set. There's elves. There's angels. There's snow. I kind of consider its own sort of tribal, as well as the party mechanic, which doesn't really enter in much here, but will probably impact standard.
I see a lot of warriors. I see a lot. Oh yeah, zombies. Doesn't do it for limited, but for constructed. Yeah, there's I see a lot of clerics, a lot of warriors.
Giants for red, you know. So there's and the gods, obviously.
Angels.
Yeah, and the angels. So legit, you know. Think about that too. If you open all your stuff and you're seeing a ton of, you know, angels in there, then you know what? Somebody's trying to tell you something, and maybe you want to try to play an angel deck because they are going to help each other. If you open the elf planeswalker there, what's his name?
Tyvar, I think it is.
Yeah, I'm trying to find him on the
yeah, it's Tyvar. Tyvar.
If you open Tyvar and even two or three elves, you're playing you're playing elves. Just
if you open Toski, play Toski just because he's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a ton of good tribal in here. The dual face cards are going to be
interesting. Good. Those are all very
good. Yeah, they're all very good this time. They're really amping up the power level a bit with the MDFC's modal dual face cards. And again, I can't say it enough, guys. Divine Gambit. That is one amazing card in limited. Let me just tell you.
I'm going to drop Divine Gambit. All right, I'll put Vorinclex into play.
Well, here's the thing.
Vorinclex actually
I think it's okay in limited, and it's
too much
okay
of a
if
risk.
Well, unless you it does yeah, if it didn't say an opponent controls, I guess. You know, that's the problem. It's a good late game card if they don't have anything in their hand.
That's the thing. There's only a couple situations where it's good, is if you already know what's in their hand or they have no cards in their hand. Otherwise, it's just, you're really
shitty,
playing with
yeah.
you're playing with fire. I mean, yeah. I'm sure there'll be plenty of times where you drop it and the best they have is like, you know, a Best Gear shield mate, a little 2-1 yeah. dude. And you're like, all right, whatever, that wasn't too bad. But then they could drop, you know,
the Gold Spawn Dragon, or
yeah, Dragon, or any of the other mythics on you, and you're like, well, that sucked.
Or Vorinclex and just sweep at that point.
Yeah, because you're like, and they're like, oh, look at all these sagas I have that are getting double counters, and your sagas get no counters. Sorry.
So, I cannot recommend enough Tribal. I think Tribal is going to be something to look for in this. You know, and that will go to your color pool. Like Aramis said, what I tend to do is, and I mean, we might even build our decks online. We might, like mm-hmm. when we open our boxes, we might crack our pre-release packs and open them right here online. You know, what I tend to do and what, you know, is I do it the same way. I separate them by color, but I also separate them by rarity. So, you know, I basically have, you know, top is mythic, second is rare, third is uncommon, three is, you know, bottom is common.
Right.
And I do that so that I can also count how many of a color I have. If I'm really sitting heavy on a color, well, then I'm probably going to try to play that because I want to get the most bang for my buck and have the most options. You know, at times it's worked against me. What I tend to end up doing is I end up building two decks for some strange reason. And
yeah,
you're
really good at that.
It always fascinates Aramis, and I always end up playing the wrong deck first. And then I switch the other deck, and Aramis will usually be like, oh, no, that's a much better deck.
Yeah, it's invariably, whatever deck, you always build two decks, and whatever deck you play first, almost invariably, is the worst of the two decks.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it's either color balance or power level, or just like you had a couple of ridiculous cards in the other deck. I'm like, why weren't you playing those?
And I'm like, oh, but this was my rare. The worst is when we were playing. The worst is when we were playing. When we had Guilds and Ravnica Allegiance, it's like your pre-release packs were you got to choose your colors. So, you know, you got to choose like the Is It pre-release pack or the Celestia pre-release pack or the Gruul pre-release pack.
Yeah, I did not like that.
And you almost invariably, and your rare was always guaranteed to be one of those cards. And then you would open your six packs. Or no, five packs, because also they had a pack of...
It was seeded, yeah.
Yeah, it was seeded, so you also had, like, your Is It cards. So you only opened five packs, so you'd have almost one pack of complete color for, like, whatever the pack was. And then you'd open your five other packs, and sure enough, nothing matches it. And you're like, well, crap.
Yep.
So your rare you can't play... This whole seeded pack you probably can't play, and you're trying to build the best 40 out of, like, I had a Gruul one, and I ended up playing Azorius Control because I opened Teferi or something like that. I forget.
No,
what it
was. I think you ended up with, you wanted to play Gruul, yeah. And I think you ended up in
Azorius. I know I was playing blue white.
I thought it was Orzhov.
No, I was blue white.
Okay.
And then I was, yeah, it was ridiculous. So, you know, at least it isn't that bad. But I mean, so you have to also be ready. Like when you open your rare, okay, take a look at it. It's probably because a lot of the rares and mythics in this, they are single colored, but I won't be surprised to see some, you know, some of the dual color type of things. Don't feel like you have to live in that color. If you open your six packs and say you open, you know, Arnie Brokenbrow, and then the rest of your red deck sucks.
Right.
Well, maybe, you know, and Arnie is a two. I do. No, he's a one. He's a one red. So you might be able to splash for him.
He's probably splashable. Yeah. I mean, if you open right. if you open Coma Cosmos Serpent, you really better hope your green and blue is good because that thing is a yeah. house.
Yeah. Or but if you open, say, Doomscar Titan, which is two red and four colorless, you're probably going to be like, well, he's an uncommon. All right. Well, Glorious Protector. She's two white and two colorless. All right, say that's your rare, okay, that's your promo card, mm-hmm. and you don't open any more white or any more angels, it's going to suck, but put that aside. Like, that's just your card for your collection or a card to build around later, because trying to find two white, especially if you're playing more than two colors, if you're playing, unless you're playing white and something else, you're good.
Right.
But, I mean, if you're playing, like, say, you end up playing Simic in blue-green, you're not going to splash two white sources just to slot that in, that's not going to work for you.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. Luckily, the only rare in the set that has more than two pips of a color is the Old Growth Troll. Yeah. And I mean, that's a really good green card in and of itself. So hopefully the rest of your green is pretty decent. But otherwise, yeah, that's definitely not a splashable card. If you're going to be playing that troll, you want to make sure that green is one of your main colors.
And here's the thing, green, if we're going to go down the list of most powerful colors, I would say it's like green, blue, red, white, black is the way I'd probably put it in order.
Yeah, I haven't had too much of a time to really break it down by color, but I mean, I think every color brings something different to the table. It's a little bit... It works out with the way they build these sets for limited, because there's usually, you know, they have signpost uncommons that are basically, you know, this is your green-black uncommon. That's what this color combination does. Here's your blue-green uncommon. That's what this color combination does. And you can kind of sort of build from there. It works better in draft than it does in sealed, but you can still kind of see it in sealed. So hopefully, you know, depending on what you open, you're able to sort of slot into one of those strategies. Although I guess this time they've done it a couple different ways for each color pair, so there's a little more variety in what you can actually build with your pool.
Yeah. So I mean, and there are certain things, like if you open a god, you're probably going to try to play it.
Should.
Gods usually come with something. If you open Doomscar, dear God, you want to play white.
If you open Goldspan Dragon, play red.
Yeah, I mean it's just be aware of what you get. You know, even though. This is what kind of sucks about not being in stores, because when I was taking my students to pre-release events, there was nothing better than watching them open their stuff, and they weren't very good at building yet because they hadn't had a lot of experience. And even I'm not that good. And they would, you know, they could lean over and go, hey, what's this? And somebody would lean over and go, no, you don't want to play that. You want to play this, you know, like would give them some help.
Yeah, it's super friendly, super casual. Yeah. And I think that is probably the biggest part of tabletop Magic that I miss during the last year. We haven't had a pre-release since
it's been a year.
Theros.
It would be this set. Yeah.
Yeah. It was Theros was the last time we had a pre-release, and the being able to sit across the table from a kid who this is their first tournament, like they've been playing Magic literally for a month and they're still learning the game, and they're opening their packs and they're saying, "Oh, what does this card do? What does this card do?" The level that this tournament is at, people are they are not only willing to help you, they're happy to help you. They want you to build a good deck because they want you to have a good time. This isn't, you know, we don't have those big high-level tournaments in paper anymore, but they used to have them, where there were actual competitive tournaments. And those are cutthroat and whatever, but this one, it's like, hey, you know, these three cards, they should go on your deck. You know, trim five more cards. You have too many cards in your deck. Do this, do that.
Oh, God, I had somebody build a 60 card. Remember, I was like, what are you doing?
Yes. I mean, you could do it. Nothing says you can't. It's just, you know, you're consistent. The biggest thing is that 40 is the minimum, and the biggest reason people harp on staying at 40 is because it gives you the best chances of drawing the cards you need when you need them.
Right. And then, you know, somebody's trying to slot Yorian and his companion. I'm like, no, you don't want to. But so that's kind of our primer. Again, it's not anything new. We kind of tend to go here before. But, I mean, again, you know, this set, definitely. The Snowlands things, again, we can't say it enough. I mean, unless, you know, you got to look at what you have and what Snowlands you open. It's really going to be dependent upon that. Now, some of the snow stuff is kind of cool in that, you know, you need any snow will, you know, it's not like saying you need a red snow permanent. Any snow will do it. So,
right.
You know, if you're going to open six, you know, basic snow lands no matter what, at least six. And if you're going to try to play a snow deck, then you might try to play a five-color snow deck. That won't work very well, but it could be fun.
Well,
so,
I mean, if you open Jorn, God of Winter, and you have good cards in Sultai, so green, blue, and black.
Yeah, that's true.
Go crazy, especially if you have a lot of snow stuff, because that's a good card.
We're going to have some fun. So Friday night, you're not going to want to miss that. It'll be on all of our channels here. Aramis and I will be doing a little sealed pre-release here on these channels. We'll be playing each other here. We'll definitely be streaming it. Maybe we'll take on all comers or something, you know, and open it up or something. I don't know how we do it. Maybe
figure it out.
Do it on one channel, I do it on another. I don't know, but you know, we could figure it out. But let's go ahead and pivot from, you know, that was our pre-release primer. We're going to pivot over to our combat.
Combat phase.
My wife is quoting Friends with Pivot.
Pivot.
Leave the jokes to me, honey.
Pivot.
Especially in the bedroom. Boom,
ting. You're a joke in the bedroom?
Yes, I'm a joke in the bedroom. Is what I'm saying.
Check it.
So
not
well.
You, honey. You're not a joke in the bedroom. No.
You
no.
That later on.
No.
Like, no, honey.
Wait. There's a window for later on. Well, this is the Plate Stalkers podcast for this week, folks. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Hey, if there's a window, I'm a married man, man. I'm out.
Bye.
Nick, she is going to kill you. You can't listen to this, Nick. You're not old enough. Anyway.
Oh, crap.
Oh, it's not Nicholas, honey.
No.
And we shouldn't be talking about Nookie anyway, because my daughter's boyfriend, Logan, is here.
Oh, make sure you shout out.
Logan. And I'm supposed to shout out Logan.
Rico.
Suave. I don't know why it won't stop.
You did it. You done did it now.
Logan.
You broke the show?
Yes, he's here. Yay. They're downstairs building a cat tree. So he has
sure
to be
they are.
In her room. Yes, they're erecting a cat tree.
Mm-hmm. I bet they are.
Yeah, that better be the only thing they're erecting. Boom, ting. And yeah. So, Logan. Yeah, Logan plays magic. Logan wants to play Commander with us one night. I'm like, sure. Okay. Yeah. Hey, we'll bring it on. Oh, here he comes. Great.
Some magic.
Logan. This is Logan. You can't see him because, you know, we.
Poke your face in.
No, don't poke his face. This is not the family podcast. I'm doing a show here.
I poke my face in.
Logan. No, so anyway, we're going to go to combat. We're going to fight. Can we gang up on him and then kill him on Commander? Oh, look at this. Nick's looking for chum in the water. Nick's like, we need new blood, man. I got somebody I can meet.
They can't see you because green screen, so you
gotta
get
nope, got green screened.
Yeah, it's all right. You don't want to see him anyway. He was badly burned as a child. Half his face is gone. Did you see the Mel Gibson movie Man Without a Face? It's pretty much that. How about Mask with Rocky Dennis? I mean, he's just kind of, you know, he's kind of, that's where he's sitting. I, to be honest, my daughter's prescription lenses, we have to send her out for more.
Stop it.
I'm the absolute worst.
You are the worst.
So anyway, we're going to go into combat now.
We're already in combat, sir.
Let's talk about the best card in the set. So, Aris, what do you think? If you were to pick a card, any card, the best card in this new set.
Best card in the set. Well, I mean, that's kind of subjective.
It's what it is. We're doing combat. That's subjective.
Yeah. If I had to pick one card that I think...
Or most broken, whatever.
I would say my favorite card.
Okay.
And it'll be one of the ones we've already talked about.
Yeah.
But I just think it's something really interesting and new. Well, not new, but it's a nice twist on something that already exists in the color pie. And it's just... I like the randomness of it. And that's okay. Tybalt's Trickery.
Like a red counterspell, you son of a bitch.
And it's just the way that it just randomly does stuff and how you can break it to do it with your own stuff. And it's one of the most red cards that they've made in a while, where it just says, this is what red does. It either, hey, I'm going to do this to your thing, I don't care what happens afterwards, or I wonder what happens if I did this to my own thing. What happens if I push this button?
It is an interesting card. It's for those of you that don't know, it's one red, one colorless. Counter target spell. Choose one, two, or three at random. Its controller mills that many cards, then exiles cards from the top of their library until they exile a non-land card with a different name than that spell. They may cast that card without paying its mana cost, then they put the exile cards on the bottom of their library in random order. Okay. I do like that in some regards. I think it's going to be used more to counter your own stuff.
Yeah.
I think you're going to play like, yeah, and then try to ramp into something ridiculous. You know,
something
like,
completely
like
obnoxious.
Like, I could see Steve throwing this into his commander deck like it's his job.
I mean, so, this will go into the type of deck where the only spells in the deck are like one of these,
right?
Maybe an Emrakul, maybe like a Blightsteel Colossus, some disgustingly hard to deal with massive creature that you can somehow give haste and then just right. be like, okay, I guess I win.
I win. So I don't disagree. I'm going to combat you on this one though, because while I think it's a good card, I can't get around Doomscar. I'm sorry. I love the fact that in essence this is a 3-mana, a turn 3 board wipe.
Yeah, like that's really a couple of cards that do that. Yeah.
You know, the fact is, I think yes, it's a sorcery, but so are most board wipes. I think this might replace Wrath of God in some decks, as far as EDH goes. Definitely in Historic. Like, you know, a lot of people are playing Wrath of God in Historic because it's in Historic right now. I think this card is actually going to replace it in a lot of decks.
It could very well. I mean, the last time we had a 3-mana Wrath in Standard was Bantu's Last Reckoning, and that kept your lands tapped for a turn afterwards.
Right, and here's the thing, folks. It is a 5-mana... you know, castable,
no,
but you're never going to cast it for 5.
Not unless you are literally dead that next turn.
Right.
If you're dead on board and you need to do it, that's the only time it's happening.
Well, or, you know, it's late in the game, you have 18 mana and you just don't care.
Still don't.
You know, it's 2 white, 3 colorless to play it manually, but it has foretell. So for 2 colorless mana, you get to put its face down. They don't get to see it. And you get to cast it on a later turn for its foretell cost. Now, question on foretell. Does that mean I can't... Not that you would, because it's the same price, but mm-hmm. you can't, like, pay 2, and then in May 2, you know...
No, because it says right in there, it says cast on a later turn. And you also have to follow regular timing rules, so this can still only be cast as a sorcery. Foretelling it is instant speed. During your turn.
Right.
So you can't foretell this on the end of their turn unless you have a Cosmos Charger, which is another card in the set that lets you foretell cards at any time.
Right.
It's something that also can't be responded to. Right. It's like flipping a morph or playing a land. You can be like, I'm foretelling this. And they're like, yep.
Because can they counter? Can they counter the foretell?
No.
So
it's not a trigger.
Uncounterable board wipe.
If you cast it for its foretell cost, the spell is cast, but they can't right. counter you actually foretelling the card, putting it face down.
Right. Okay.
It's considered a special action.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry. I think this is going to be the card that's going to be the biggest card to come out of this set. Not just for Standard, and I'm sorry again, a 3-mana wipe in Standard. And angels, like the fact that there are so many angels already, like, no, of course you're going to have this in angels, like, and Ugin, and, you know, removal is going to be a big thing for Standard, I think.
I mean, if you're
I personally feel this is the best card that they're putting out in the set. It's a rare, but I think they're going to put it in a lot of decks. I don't think it's going to be a hard to find rare. This feels like a rare that you're going to open a few.
Doomscar, probably, yeah. You'll probably open a decent amount of them. I know that as far as the money is concerned, the most valuable card in the set is Vorinclex, especially the Phyrexian version of him.
Yeah, but...
That's actually running for over $400 right now.
What?
The Phyrexian Vorinclex.
Please, let me open that.
That's collector boosters only.
I might have to buy
the regular. The regular because there's a regular version, the alternate version, and the Phyrexian version.
Right.
Regular version's about 46.
Yeah, that's still good enough. But
so yeah, and then I think the Phyrexian version is a little more than that.
Might have to pre-order a box of the collectors. So yeah, but yeah, I think for me, Doomscar is gonna be, because I think it's gonna have the most impact, not just in Standard. Hmm. I think it's better than Tibalt. You know, the Tibalt card is that, you know, Tibalt's Trickery is a great card, and I think it's going to let you do some shenanigans in Standard. I do like the fact that this set seems to be one that's going to turn Standard a little bit on its ear. I mean, we haven't talked State of Standard in a while, because to be honest, since the bannings, the State of Standard has not changed. Hello, Rogues. Hello, Adventures. It's pretty much it.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, we haven't talked too much about that. This does seem like it's going to move Standard a little bit. I think Rogues will still be a deck. I think rogues will still be playable, but I think there's a lot of answers for rogues in this, and I think there's a lot of faster, better cards to play in this set than
well,
rogues.
Well, I don't. That'll be something I think is sort of still within the combat, because I don't know. It's not the rogues themselves that are the problem, it's the mill.
Right. But I think
unless I've completely been wrong about the deck, you know, but
No, it's the mill, you're right. But the thing about it is that, you know, the milling is important. The milling's the milling is kind of their win con, but the thing about it is this seems faster. There's a lot of lower cost stuff. I mean, sure, you're milling me out, but if I can get out, you know, my stuff.
They're gonna be playing, you know, didn't see it coming, you know.
Yeah.
They're gonna be playing.
Didn't say please.
yeah. They play counter magic. They play drawn in the lock.
Right.
You know. So between saw it coming, and drawn in the lock and stuff like that. I mean, if anything, rogue gets some toys out of this set as well. So it's gonna be interesting to see the other decks adjust to try to see if they can take out the top decks in the format. I'm not sure that any new archetypes necessarily come out of this. There'll be snow. Snow will probably happen.
Snow will happen. I think tribal will happen. I definitely think elves will happen.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see elves decks. And the Divine Gambit, man. I think Divine Gambit's going to be the best deck out there. Everybody's going to play it. It's going to be in every white deck.
I'm going to let you die on that particular sword.
But I think Big Red could have a comeback.
Maybe, yeah. There's
we say that every set, because every set there's these stupid bombad red creatures.
Yeah.
But I've never seen, with Tybalt's trickery, okay, with the fact that, you know, Arnie is only three and he can boast, and we can do multiple boasts with that one card, and there's a lot of ways to keep your mana, you know, keep red mana after, you know, phases end. I think we could see a little bit. You might see Big Red.
You might see Big Red. You're not going to see it with Tybalt's trickery, because if you're using it on yourself, that's purely a combo piece.
Right.
So that's not what Big Red's about.
No.
If they have it in the main as a regular spell, that's sideboard material.
That's what I mean. It might be in the sideboard, but
it's a big build around for Tybalt's trickery. Red in and of itself may make an appearance.
Red Giant. I mean, giants alone. There's a lot of giants. And I think you could put Torbern in here. I think there's enough red. There's enough red stuff to go a little bit. You know, it's going to be hit you in the face. It's not going to be like it was. Right. But and Tarolf is really ridiculous. And, you know, the fact that, you know, the excess combat damage, Tarolf deals damage equal to the excess to any target other than that permanent. I mean, it's got some toys.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see.
I do think elves, though. I think you're going to see. I mean, Tavar is just ridiculous.
If not in this set, then the Forgotten Realms set for sure, because elves are a big part of the Forgotten Realms.
Yeah, and definitely. And I think you know. And again, they gave us a lot. I don't think a lot of people are going to try to build party decks. Is that what it was?
The party mechanic. Yeah. You know something that I'm a little surprised about, that it wasn't at least in the Commander pre-con, was Elves of Deep Shadow. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to sneak that in the Forgotten Realms set.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's going to be an interesting, and the pre-cons, by the way, we will, obviously Aramis and I are going to buy both pre-cons. I imagine Steve and Anthony will too. We will obviously do a playcast where we're tearing those apart. And you know, you can't forget about those either. But as far as standard goes, I think you're right about Tybalt's trickery. But I mean, I definitely think Doomscar is probably the best. I think you're going to see it slotted in almost every white deck.
Oh yeah, if you're playing any sort of control, then that, I mean, you want to have a cheap ramp.
Oh my god, a Doom Foretold with
yeah, there's a couple different cards that go into Doom Foretold with this set.
Furja's Retribution seems to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's one in particular I was thinking of.
Furja Javel. Yeah, it's going to be. So that's kind of our combat. Again, we don't really have a winner or a loser per se. It's just kind of, you know.
We just want to celebrate the new set.
The new set's going to be fun. Let's go ahead and get to our second main phase here, and we'll talk about other stuff we got going on.
Main phase.
All right. So in second main here, what we did want to update you guys on is the tournament. Okay, the one thing we could say, I mean, there, like it or not, the bracket system we had just now, you know, it has its upsides, it has its downsides. The upside is they're not waiting. They're like, hey, wait, if I have a match, I'm just going to play it. So the bracket system is kind of like letting it go to the point where, you know, we had, I think it was 18. Mm-hmm. So you got, you know, one whole bracket. I think I can pull it up on the screen here. Hold on. One whole bracket is pretty much done. Like, we have our finalists from that bracket. And shocker, it's Steve. I forget what deck he's playing. But he's kind of, and by the way, Steve did not get a bye. Steve played in the first round, second round, third round, and fourth round. So he's in the finals right now. He beat Last Straw, he beat Grunt, he beat Potato, and he beat Bowfinger. So the second set, though, Major Dan and Cat Enthusiast finally got their match in. He's got to play Mog Flunky, and Mog Flunky beat Black Mage. Eldrazi Kraken beat down Mumbledown, and Jay Grow beat Kuka Killer. Now, Jay Grow has managed to make it to the Final Four. So the winner of Major Dan and Mog are going to end up playing for the other finalist spot, and then Steve and them are going to battle it out for the win. So what are their decks? Do you have their deck list handy? Or?
Steve is playing Rogues.
Shocker.
Jay Grow is playing... He's the one playing that Is It Spells deck.
Oh, that's the one we like, yeah.
And then what was the other one?
Major Dan, he's at the bottom. He's playing that Azorius Flyers.
Yeah, Azorius Flyers, and okay.
So it's not all Rogues. All right, this is good. I mean, we got one. The odds were good. You're going to get one.
It was over half the field.
Yeah, so I'm very excited to see this. They're going to get their match in as soon as possible, I think. Dan's trying to get it with Mog Flunky now. Oh, what's Mog Flunky playing? Major Dan's playing that. Flunky is playing, I think he's playing Rogues.
What's, I don't have him on here for this. Give me another name for him.
I have to check, and it's like, arena username is Eldrazi Kraken, HippoFam is HippoFam, Burrito Burns. Oh, Bardo Burns. He's playing Gates.
Gates.
Oh, shit. And no Gates Ablaze, by the way. That's one of the banned cards, so.
Yeah. He's four-color Gates.
That's going to be interesting.
I like it.
I think looking at it between him and Dan, Dan's got evasion. Like, it's hard to get around Flyers. You know, I don't know. What do you think, man? Who do you think's got it?
Gates deck is playing Fatal Push and Heartless Act.
Yeah.
And he's got some more. He's got Cry of the Canary and Blood Chief's Thirst.
Fatal and he's Push got the life gain with that Angel. He's got the, yeah. I mean.
And that's a flyer.
It's hard to stop that Angel. Like, if they can get to turn, Dan needs to win before turn six. If he gets Arcway Angel out on turn six, that's hard to beat.
Yeah.
Because that's usually turn six, you probably have six Gates out.
Well, and the Colossus itself, you know, that thing coming down for two or three mana and just basically never dying.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting matchup. I'm curious to see. I mean, he's gotten this far, so it's obviously been able to deal with whatever's been stuck in his way so far.
And, I mean, the Gatekeeper Gargoyle is another flyer. He can handle flyers.
Yep, and he's got removal, so right. It's going to be an interesting matchup. It'll be nice to see who ends up playing Steve in the finals.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for that. Hopefully they get their match in soon because I really want to see which one of them does it. And you know, by turn six, to be quite honest, I mean, you shouldn't have just six Gates out. By turn six, you should be with between Growth Spiral, Securitas Root, and even you know,
and Guild Summit drawing.
Guild Summit,
a bunch of
cards. Yeah, you should be getting out like by turn six. You should have a good 10 out. So I mean, he's gonna have to deal with that life gain. I don't think he's running. Yeah, he's running Azorius, so it's not like he's running Tybalt, which is I'm running that. I'm playing Mono Red and Historic right now. I'm laddering up with it, and the best card I have in my deck is Tybalt. I have three of them because I end up playing the white life gain deck. I'm like, sure, here you go. Thank you. Or Euro, here you go. Have fun. Oh, I'm hitting you for a lot, and that Embercleave on turn four. Thank you for playing. So, yeah, that's the tournament I'm pretty happy with. I hope next time we get a lot more people. I don't know what we got to do. I think part of it was the sign up was interesting in that you have to be in the Discord. You have to go to this channel. You have to do it. You have to jump through about 3 or 4 hoops to get there. I don't know if we can make it easier or not. I have to take a look at that.
I think too, we may have to, also just make sure that the brackets don't close as quickly as they did.
Yeah, that was, well, what I'll do is I'd set it for Tuesday so that it closes on Monday on our show. Because that's what it was. I wanted the content there. I wanted it to close on Monday and they could start playing, but it just didn't happen that way. So, right. Yeah, we're going to work on it because I do like the fact that this is not waiting for us to update the bracket.
Right.
You know, like they and then if they want, they can just keep going. You have a week to get your match in, but if you want to keep going and your match is ready, go play. Sure, what the hell. So, I mean, and it does change things because now, you know, in some regards, Dan, Flunky, and J-Gro have a bit of an advantage in that they know that their end goal is Steve. They can think about, you know, okay, I'm going to end up playing a rogue deck. How would my deck work with this? Now, you can't change your deck list, but
you can strategize.
You can start strategizing, yeah. Like, so it does behoove you not to go too far ahead, but Steve is awesome, and he's arrogant as hell, so he's probably like, I don't care. I'm going to beat him anyway.
It's good to have confidence.
So, yeah, he does have confidence, so I like that. The last thing we want to talk about tonight is the state of the game. It did come out last Thursday, I think it was, on the 21st, which I think was Thursday. So, you know, and they talk a lot. Now, the state of the game can be found at wizards.com, and it's one of their major articles. You can easily find it. Yeah. Or just go to the Googles and look up, you know, Arena State of the Game January 21. They talk a lot in this about the mechanics of call time, obviously. Mm-hmm. So they're going to talk about how Foretell is going to work in Arena. They talk about how Boast is working and how Snow Covered and all that's going to work. In that you'll tap a Snow Covered land, it'll say, do you want it to be snow or do you want it to be basic? So definitely worthwhile. Then their real big news was Magic is going mobile this week. Like, I think tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes. No, 28th.
28th, Thursday.
Yeah, starting on Thursday with the Thursday update.
Right. Which is weird because, like, they're not releasing call time on Tuesday. Like, the last couple of weeks, they've been releasing it, like, the pre-release. They've been releasing it, like, Tuesday before pre-release.
Well, they do the pre-release.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a couple days, like a sneak peek event for certain streamers and stuff. So it's available starting Tuesday, Wednesday. The rest of the public gets it on Thursday after the big update.
So here's the deal. Now, this is what pisses me off. I am a dyed-in-the-cloth Apple guy. This is no surprise to anybody. I work in IT. I have a MacBook. I have an iPad, I have an Apple Watch, I have an iPhone, I have the AirPods, I have the Apple Pencil, I have, you know, my iPad, but I mean, I'm Apple, like, you know, tits to nuts, all Apple. Son of a bitch, if this damn thing, huh? I'm
trying to unpack that and it's not working.
But son of a bitch, if they're not releasing it for Apple. It's going Android only.
Well, Android first.
Android first. With iOS coming later this year, which tells me that basically, here's what I think's happening, is they're trying to work with Apple. Here's the thing. Apple takes a big cut of your purchases. Like, they take like 15% of your in-app purchases. And Wizards is probably like, well, screw you. We don't want to give you 15%. And so I'm sure that this is part of it. I mean, because the mechanics of it aren't that different. I mean,
there may be some technical things that they're still working on. But yeah, this could we don't really know, but this could really boil down to money.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. And I'm sure, you know, so Android Early Access starts this Thursday with the release of Call Time. The necessary specs for those of you who are technical.
You need top of the line stuff right now.
Yeah, you're going to need a Kirin 970 or Snapdragon 845 or Exynos. So supported devices are pretty much Asus ROG Phone 2, 3, Galaxy Note 10+, Pixel 3 and up, Honor Play 4, Huawei's a few things.
Basically, the stuff that's come up within the last like year or two.
Yeah. So nothing in here about Kindle. Now, I sideload my Kindle. So believe me, this weekend I will try it and see if by any... Because, I mean, I think because I sideloaded it, kind of looks like a, you know, tab, a Google like phone or whatever. So, or a Galaxy tablet. So I should be able to do it. There's no reason I shouldn't. So believe me, I'll let you guys know. Because, I mean, I will. I'll try to load it on my Kindle. But the fact is, I'm still kind of like, it's kind of shitty.
Like, yeah, I mean,
if you're gonna do it, like, do it.
Although honestly, at this point, we've waited so long, I'm okay with waiting a little longer because it's not like it's not gonna have a million bugs anyway when it launches.
True, true. But again, I want to play Magic on the crapper, and so the best way to do that is with a tablet or a phone. I mean, I could bring the laptop, but then, you know, there's poopy particles on my keyboard. So you don't
want
that. Yeah, you
know what? Honestly, you're gonna have to bring your charger, too, because I bet you anything, this thing is going to drain the battery real fast.
Oh, no doubt.
Opening hand, battery dead.
Well, I don't think it'll be that bad, but...
It'll be just see that circle saying, waiting for server to respond, and that's going to just drain your right
dry. I do like they're doing draft on it, all right? I do like that they're doing draft.
You can't sideboard, though.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
That's weird. So best of one only draft is recommended, I would say, for the first, you know, X number of months until they work out all these little kinks. Which to me sort of says, why not wait to release it until you can release it on all the platforms at once and you've worked out these bugs already?
Exactly.
This stuff is going to be a
problem.
The
Android are beta testers is really what it is. But again, why in the hell wouldn't you use Apple then? Because Apple's a lockdown operating system. Everybody hacks their Android. Like, it's really hard to root an iPhone these days. So... But it is what it is. So that's coming this week.
That's the important thing. It's coming, finally.
It's actually happening. So, you know, hopefully we can stop these cheesy, like, release videos when they have a new set where, you know, they run into somebody and blah, blah. So,
I'm playing Magic on my phone.
It's like that 80s show. No, I'm on a portable phone. It's like... That was a show in the early 2000s that they tried to... live off that 70s show and they made a that 80s show and it was as bad as you think it would be. So, but with that, on that note, I think it's time to go.
End step.
All right. So we're at end step and, wow. Hey, the show ran a little bit over, but I'm okay with that. So as Aramis and I are starting to pick up our play mats and pick up our carts, put them in their boxes and take the pizza boxes over to the trash because, damn it, your mother still does not work at this video store. We want to remind you that Aramis and I both stream Arena on the Planestalkers podcast channel on Twitch. You can follow us there. Look up Planestalker Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
And if you want to follow me on Twitch, you're wasting your time.
The handle is
RMECWRX. I never stream on there. If I stream anything, it's going to go on the Planestalkers podcast channel. So you can follow me on my main if you want to. But honestly, you're better off going to the Planestalkers podcast channel to follow anything that we do there. If you want to follow the show with Twitter, you can follow us there. Our handle on Twitter is @PlanestalkerPod.
And my personal Twitter is @WRBenson. Now, here's the deal, folks. I mean, I really don't tweet a lot. I really am there just to follow my absolute favorite band from the 1980s, the Flock of Seagulls. I mean, I have the hairdo on most days. I go to work with it. And, you know, Iran is one of the most iconic songs of history. And if you don't know what a flock of seagulls are, well, kids, go to the internet. But, but you can always follow us on Facebook. We're on there quite a bit. Just go to facebook.com/planestalker and like and follow our page there. And don't forget our Discord is discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. And we want to remind you about our show Wednesday night. We have our Planestalker Playcast where we play Paper Commander online using Spell Table with usually Anthony and Steve, but we do like to rotate in somebody every now and again. So if you're a patron and you want to sit in that fourth seat, just let us know. We will kick one of those guys right out. We have no problem with that at all. So that you can find that Wednesday night wherever you watch the show. But again, the best place to get all this information, discord.planestalkerspodcast.com.
And finally, if you want to send an email to the show, and if you have a question about the show, maybe a suggestion of a topic we could cover, or you just want to ask me or Will something about the game or something personal, which I don't know, well, anybody would want that. But.
Well, girls are constantly just sending me marriage proposals on email now. They're like,
that explains the bruises.
Please marry me. Yeah.
It does explain the bruises.
I explained that I'm happily married, but should she pass away, I will be entertaining, you know, invites for the funeral. I have to go with a date. I mean, you don't go to a funeral alone. So, you know, if I outlive her at the funeral, I'm just going to bring a date. Ow! Woman!
And we both know that you outliving her is not happening.
No, no, no.
You have a flight of stairs in your future, my friend.
Yes, I know.
Anyway, if you do want to send one of us an email, even if it is an early condolence email to Will because you know he's going to die, the main address, actually send that email to the main address because we'll both see it. It's podcast at planestalkerspodcast.com. If you wanted to send it to Will individually, you can send it to Will at planestalkerspodcast.com. If you want to send it to me and see if I don't warn him, it's Aramis at planestalkerspodcast.com.
You complete me. I love you.
You are a dead man.
You are the best ever.
Dead man walking.
Oh, yeah. You know, you complete me. Jerry Maguire, I'm in love with you. I want to remind you guys, too, I do host another podcast. It deals with the television show DC's Legends of Tomorrow. It's called Legends TV Talk. It is on a bit of an indefinite hiatus because we don't know when that show's coming back. Although I think we're going to put something together soon because Flash is coming back. So we might do a little bit of a DC TV Talk kind of, you know, roundtable discussion to kind of get primed for that. You know, find us on Facebook at Legends TV Talk. We're also on there doing the Flashcraft, which is the Minecraft stuff. Very exciting. We also want to remind you about our iTunes reviews. We actually have one.
Really?
So, yes, it came in Saturday. We love to read these on the show. So if you want to leave us an iTunes review, go to iTunes. If you have an iPhone, it's real easy. If you don't, download it on your computer. It takes like 5 minutes. Sign up for an account. Go there. Find us. Leave us a 5-star review. It really does help the show. It brings more eyes to the show. It helps the show show up in like various things when people search for magic. It's really the best way to help us. So please do that. Just like Silver Soul 89 did. And like I said, we'll read these on the show. And I didn't pre-read this. If it says, "Well, by the way, you suck," I will read anything on the teleprompter. So you're welcome to put that in the 5-star review. Make sure it's a 5-star review or I won't read it. All right. It says, all right. One of my favorite pods, period. 5 stars. And it said, "Stumbled upon these guys a couple of weeks ago looking for a good MTG podcast, and they stand far above the others I tried out."
I like that.
I love that. That's great. Again, feel free to put that in there. "Great chemistry, great content. I think even if I stopped playing MTG, I'd still keep coming back for more. Great job, guys. Keep up the good work." And Will, you are one attractive man. Look at that. I mean, these people know what they're talking about. So, I mean, yeah, if you put in there, "Will, you are one attractive," I would actually, we should do that. Guys, if you're putting in that, put it as the end of everything. Because I just think that would be funny if somebody goes to read the reviews and the last sentence of every review is, "Will, you are one attractive man." I just think that would be hysterically funny. Don't you? That would be funny, right? I think, Aramis, don't you think that would be funny?
No comment.
So please, if you can, just go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. It really does help the show. But on that note, Aramis and I are going to get out of here. We want to thank you guys for hanging out and listening to us tonight. We will be back, like I said, this Wednesday with our playcast, where I will be defending my championship. I'll be playing Omnath, so that's always fun. And we'll be back next Monday with pre-release stuff. We'll talk about that. And we will be playing Friday night, our pre-release event. So you're not going to want to miss it. For Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you all for being listeners. Thanks for hanging out tonight. And remember to always keep some of your mana untapped because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a great week. Bye-bye.